Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
If you've been here for a while, a couple weeks, some of you have been here for a couple weeks, come to church, or from the beginning of the year, or just this past year, some of you have been here a long time. Thank God for those that have been with us. You've seen the word servolution, servolution, servolution. You just saw a video, servolution. There's a book that you'll see out in Mission Cafe called Servolution, and God gave us that book, and we've been able to put that in the hands of a lot of people. There's a movement called Servolution. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches all over the world do these things called Servolution. There are hundreds of churches doing Servolution weeks leading up to Easter. Matter of fact, I just got this letter from Craig Johnson. He is the director of ministries at Lakewood Church, which is where Joel and Victoria Osteen pastor a church. It's a little small church there in Houston, just doing a little work. They're trying to get up off the ground. But his dad was John Osteen, who was a great man. But I got this letter this week from Craig Johnson from Lakewood Church. He said, if you remember last year, we talked about Servolution. I told you instead of launching a serving campaign under our umbrella, we wanted to partner with you since you've been a part of the Champions Network and you've had close ties with the Osteens in Lakewood. Says, plus, why create the wheel when we can do it together? I don't know if you remember, but I asked your permission to launch Servolution campaign here at Lakewood. It says, well, we launched Servolution, Love God, Serve People, Transform Houston in January. It's been a huge success. We had an all-church blood drive at our first one. It was the largest single blood drive ever in America. So you think about that. Boy, the church is impacting culture. Says we did our second Servolution Saturday in Houston Food Bank. Over 300 volunteers showed up where we packed 45,000 meals for families in Houston. So we did our third Servolution in March at a park here in the hospital district of Houston to pull weeds, pick up trash, plant flowers, pull up old trees, bushes, etc. We had 600 people sign up to be a part of that. Due to bad weather, it affected our crowd because they're from Texas. They can't handle the rain. Now, from Louisiana, if it rains, we have more people show up for an outreach. Because we're crazy. Said we still had 200 people show up. Wow. I'm just joking. Our next Servolution event is April. To put together care packages, I love this idea, for military families in Houston of soldiers who are serving overseas. Servolution is taking off in Lakewood Church. Isn't that cool? It's kind of cool. I did this radio interview the other day, and they were talking about Servolution. They were talking, you know, different churches doing it. And they said, you know, it's kind of a new phrase, and y'all coined the phrase. And he said, you know, it's kind of a word you made up. I mean, it's a new word that was made up, Servolution. And basically, it's serve plus revolution, Servolution. He says, how does it feel to make up a word? He says, wow. I said, well, I didn't make it up. It's just on the book. Matter of fact, Jason Laird, our student pastor, came up with the word when we were sitting in a meet, describe what we wanted to do. Jason Laird, just out of the background. How many of us those youth that always come up with the great ideas? He just said, what you described is Servolution. And we grabbed that, and you'll see this thought of Servolution. You say, well, wow, Jason really came up with this idea. Well, yes, as it relates to us, but no, not as it relates to an idea. Because really the one who came up with the idea of a revolution of serving was Jesus Christ. It's not a new idea. It's an idea that we grabbed hold to that we see from our Lord and Savior. And just simply today, I want to take some time and I want to talk about what Jesus lived and died for. And I want to walk through three different scriptures or three different texts here in scripture. And when I say the word text, you're like, wow, did you text me? No, it's another way you could say scripture in the Bible, text. Some of you didn't even know that. You say, I'm going to look at a text right now. It's like, did you bring your phone on stage? No, I'm going to look at a text in scripture. Just FYI for all of you that are under 30. Matthew chapter 20. Look at three texts. Matthew chapter 20. Just looking at how Jesus lived and died to serve man as it relates to salvation and the free gift of God. Lived and died to serve mankind. Just going to look at those. Real simple. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus with her sons. Now get this. Mom and two sons. Kneeling down and ask a favor of him. Which I've never seen this before, Johnny. But when I saw it today, too many times we go to God and we worship him because we want something. And I've never noticed this, that how the mother comes to Jesus. And first she says, oh, Jesus, I just love you so much. You're so amazing. I need a favor. I've never noticed him. She says, you know, she worships and then she asks him a favor. You got to watch your motives. Got to watch yourself. I got to watch myself. So she knelt down and asked Jesus a favor. He said, what is it you want? She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand. I mean, it's almost like she says, hey, listen, when you go into your kingdom, he goes on to explain it about the kingdom. The mother kind of interrupts Jesus, worships and says, I got a favor. When you get to your kingdom, can you arrange it where one of my sons sits at your right hand, one of them sits at your left hand? Now, has your mother or dad ever embarrassed you? Have they ever got involved with something and said something and you're looking at them like, what? I mean, just says something to a teacher or says something about what you've done or says, you know, just brags on you a little bit too much or something like that. But what's interesting to me, she goes to Jesus. She's just basically trying to get seats early. I just want to hurry and get them some seats before anybody else sits down. Can I get him the best seats? Have you ever seen anybody who's after a seat? Can I tell you something? It was so funny to see. We opened up the door for Joyce Myers. Joyce Myers spoke here. Some of you are not here. And they want to open up the doors. And there were ladies and men, mostly women, waiting at the doors. And they would say, okay, no one run. We've got plenty of seats. And everybody be kind. This is kind of a church environment. Let's everyone show the love of God. And let's prefer one another. Let's all be this big speech about being kind and nice and meek and lowly. We open up the doors. Boom! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Like y'all hurting somebody. I'm about to lose my britches up here on stage. So thin. So they're trying. She's saying, can I get my sons a seat early in this party? Goodness, the things that happen. The things that Jesus had to deal with. He didn't have enough to deal with. He's got mama all upset. Oh, now he's got a mother of a disciple all up in his grill. That's rough. He goes on to explain what you're asking, my sister. You don't realize what you're diving into. I'm not sure if you know what this kingdom is about. This kingdom is really not about that. This kingdom is about serving. And he says this, these are great verses, verse 25. It says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them with high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Everybody say servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That is a scripture I never get tired of reading. It's a scripture I never get tired of talking about. Jesus said, here's why I came. I came not to be served, not to be waited on, not to be first. I came to serve. And that if I'm going to serve, then there's something else that comes along with serving. I'm going to give my life. Serving is about giving a part of you. Give my life a ransom for many. I came to serve. Question. How is your serve? How is your serve? I'm not talking about. Bah. I'm not talking about that one. How is your serve? How's your serve? Jesus said, I came to serve. I want to encourage you. Don't waste your life only serving yourself or just those that directly benefit your advancement. Serve him and serve some them that cannot repay you and cannot advance you. That's why I love outreach. That's why I love us going down to the Baton Rouge Dream Center. That's why I love all these opportunities that are there for us. Going to the nursing home. Heading out to be a part of our special needs rehab outreach. Foster care outreach. Water giveaway. Car washes. All these different things. Car prep. What a great idea to help the cars of widows and single moms and military wives. All these different things that go on. I love the idea. Why? Because we're serving people that cannot pay us back. And I think that's just the heart of God. So I love being a part of outreach. It helps soften your heart because so much of our life is about our personal benefit. I mean, if we were just honest, so much of our life is about what can I get out of it? How does this really affect me? What about me? What about my stuff? Jesus said, I didn't just come to be served. But if you really want to find real life and you want to really find fulfillment, and if you're wondering this void in my heart, I'm trying to figure out how to sort through life. I'm telling you right now that some of the sweet spots of life is in serving other people. We see it all throughout Scripture. Now I want to look at our second text. It's in Philippians chapter 2. It's going right through the Scripture. I had some other thoughts that I was going to dive into, but I kept just going back to the Scripture because I just believe it just says it so well to us. I love the short book of Philippians. It is only four chapters. It's about 104 verses. But it's interesting that in these 104 verses, that really the main theme of Philippians is joy or to rejoice. About 20 times in the book of Philippians, you see the word joy or rejoicing, which I think is pretty funny in light of where Paul wrote this. He wrote it from a Roman's prison cell. Now, if there's ever been a letter that could have been dark and depressing, it was this one. It's interesting that as he writes a letter from a prison cell, the theme of the letter is about joy. It's not just, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. And then like, you know how you make us, you know, they got these emojis on cell phones now. Sad face, sad face, sad face. And if you don't have a smartphone, then you just take like the two dots and like a, what do you call those things? Parentheses. You turn it upside down. You throw your two dots on it. You turn your parentheses the wrong way. And it's a sad face. The whole letter could have been sad, depressing, and dark. It's terrible. You know what's happened to me. You don't know how I'm suffering. You don't understand what's going on in my life. But it's the complete opposite. Why would it be the complete opposite? Because Paul realized that he was not bound. He was free in Jesus. And even in that setting, he was joyful in God in spite. And that was a key for him. Because he was going to serve Jesus at all times. Whether he was in a good spot or in a bad spot. I want to read this. And look at the start real closely now that you see the context of how Philippians was written. If you have any encouragement, look at these words, encouragement, from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, he's in prison, he's talking about tenderness and compassion, then make my joy, Paul's in prison. He's chained to a guard. He's in a prison cell. Make my joy complete. How do you make his joy complete? He's talking to the people by being like-minded. I want you to have a like mind. I want you to have a unity. I want you to have I want you to submit together with these ideas. And he starts talking about the mind we should have. Having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In humility, considering others better than yourself. Now, can we just pause there for a second? Because that's a cool thought. There are others that are better than you. I believe one of the ways you have joy is when you realize that not all of life is a competition. It's hard to serve people that you're competing with the whole time. Come on, somebody. It's hard to serve somebody that you're putting yourself better than all the time. And so he says, consider, you know what, I think one of the, we should get up every morning realizing that there are people even that we don't like that are better than us at certain things. Do you know everybody you run into is better than you at certain something else? I mean, there are people all around you that are better than you in a certain area. And to be able to see that, to have that heart of a servant, to realize, do you know what? They're better than me, so I can serve them. And there's some areas that they could serve me in. And we could serve one another. And that's why we don't live that whole competitive. I mean, if there's anything. And what's sad is sometimes we see this in the church. One church thinks they're better than another church. Well, our preacher's better preacher than yours. Our music's better than yours. And our black floor is better than your red floor. Or one preacher thinks that's not Christ. That's so toxic when we think we're better than it. And someone thinks they're better than somebody else in a spiritual context. Because he is saying, let this mind be in you. That you're not vain. You're not conceited like that. Have you ever been around anybody conceited? Oh, that's no fun. They're just conceited. It's just no fun. I think spiritual conceit is worse than that. You think you're spiritually better. Paul said, that's not the mind I have. That's not the mind of Christ. You can't serve anybody if you have that spirit on you. He says, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each one should look not only to their own interests, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider it equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I don't know if there's anything greater in Scripture written about Jesus Christ. And the heart of it is to serve. Such a joy. Paul says, I've experienced such a joy. Healing Place, I believe if you and I took the time to pray this and to let this work in our life, if you and I were to surrender to this spirit, surrender to this heart, I believe we would be able to rejoice regardless of the trial or the hardship that's facing you and I. Paul had prison walls. He had a guard chained to him. But he was thinking more clearly than ever because of the joy of submitting to Christ and the joy of serving other people. He found a joy in a hard time by serving God and serving others. Can I encourage you that if you're in a hard place, if you're in a tough circumstance right now, I want to encourage you, don't serve less. Serve more. Is anybody hearing me? Serve more. Don't pull back. Push in. Don't drift away, but move closer to the heart of God. Don't move into isolation. Don't drift into that isolated place. Move out of that. In isolation, it is that conceited feel. It is that me own. And Jesus said, Paul, and he's speaking to Paul, he's speaking to us. Look at me. I mean, everything that was at my fingertips, but I still laid it down. And because I laid it all down, look what my Father did. Look what my Father did. Such a powerful thought. Now, let me give you the third text, which is in Ecclesiastes. That's in the Old Testament. And it is a sneaky book to find. You ever looked in your Bible for a book and thought it moved? You ever done that? I just thought, man, it shifted. Where did it go? It used to be behind Proverbs. You know, maybe it's over here by Jeremiah. I don't know. It's right past Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, you find Proverbs, you'll find it just tucked in there. This is a great story as it relates to serving. I believe this is the impact you and I can have when we decide to serve. Be a part of Servolution. Sign up. Be a part. Leave here today. Eat a cupcake. Find out a place you can serve. Come out of that isolation. Don't be so conceited. Don't look at your own interests. All these scriptural ideas, guess what? They're not ideas. They're not theory. They're truth. When we embrace these things, our life changes. We do God's word. Our life changes. This is great. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 13 through 15. It's a story, but it speaks of truth. It says, I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom. Chapter 9, verse 13. An example of wisdom and knowledge that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it. And a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, built huge siege works against it, built these ramparts, going to come and take over the city. It was a small city. They surrounded this wicked king, going to destroy the city. You can imagine the darkness and the depression of we're surrounded. It's hopeless. Nothing's going to go right. There's no use. There's no hope. There's no reason. So this is their condition. But it said, now there lived in that city a poor but wise man, a man that was poor but wise. The Bible said, and he saved the city. And it said he saved it by his wisdom. But no one remembered that poor man. What an interesting thought. And Ecclesiastes, which is such a book of wisdom, for it tells us so many truths. It's an outlook of life. It gives this scenario of the city that was surrounded by this huge army. And I've studied this a little bit, and it's just a hopeless situation. But somehow now there was an older man there that was a wise man, a knowledgeable man. There was a man that had courage, and there was a man that had a heart. And because of his wisdom, because of his work, because of his serve, he came with an idea. There was a thought. We don't know what happened. But it saved the city. And then later on, not everybody could exactly remember his name. But guess what? They remembered his legacy of giving and sacrifice and serving. Can I tell you this? Those people, even though they didn't know all the details of this man's life, and maybe they couldn't tell you what his favorite color was or his favorite food was, they were very thankful that that man lived in their city. Because if they wouldn't have been, if he wouldn't have been in that city with them, they would have been in deep trouble. They were in a good place because of that man's wisdom, because that man chose not to be silent, because that man chose to be public with what was in his heart and the idea and the innovation and the creativity that God had planted in his heart to make a difference in his city. They benefited from. Can I tell you this? Can I tell you something about Ascension Parish and East Baton Rouge and West Baton Rouge and Livingston and on and on? Guess what? They ought to be glad that they live in a city with you. Because if your heart, your sacrifice, and your giving, and your care, and your compassion, and your generosity, guess what? It makes a difference in a city. Where would our cities be without the love of Jesus Christ? And it makes a difference when people decide that I'm not going to be silent, not going to go away, not going to be lukewarm, I'm not going to be compromised, but I'm going to be vocal, and I'm going to be visible. And I'm going to show the love of God. And I'm going to share the love of God. And I'm going to serve in the love of God. Why? Because he loved me. He first loved me. And I can't keep it silent. Can I encourage you this morning, decide to make a difference by being a servant of the Most High. Just finding something, making a difference. Others have, and you know what? We feel their impact today. Thought about three people. First one's Billy Hornsby. Billy Hornsby passed away just a few days ago. Billy Hornsby was a great guy. Billy, born in this area, pastor and missionary, was a state policeman here in Louisiana. Matter of fact, he was Governor Edward Edwards' bodyguard for a while. He's a great guy, but then had a heart to pastor. About 10 years ago, had an idea. Why don't we help people that nobody else wants to help plant churches? For 10 years, he's helped plant churches and led ARC. You know what I loved about Billy Hornsby? Two things. He never complained. Never complained. And he loved the little guy. The guy that nobody else wanted to help. Now there's over 200 churches planted. We believe in the next 4 or 5 years, there'll be another 1,800 churches. We're believing by year 2020, 2,000 churches planted, reaching people. Just a guy who wanted to serve the little guy. Wanted to help a few, plant a few churches. What's that? That's called legacy. From 1949 to 2011. It's amazing what a serve will do. You know, the other person I thought about, Dave Olerking. He's a servant. You look at that. Dave Olerking, born in 1940 to 2010. Dave decided that with his life, he was an atheist for a while. And God got a hold of his heart. Didn't even believe. Then God got a hold of his heart, changed his life. Became a missionary for about 30, 40 years. Served the least and the lonely. He said with his life, he wanted to go to the hard places of the world and serve children. We made a difference. His legacy lives on. There are generations and generations of young people all across this church and all across churches everywhere that know about Children's Cup. Some of his kids are in our own church. Some of Dan Olerking, his son, takes care of our online campus. Guess what's the coolest thing? Dave's idea of wanting to serve the least and the lonely, you know what's happening? It's being carried on. And now it's just not one man. It's hundreds of people that are a part of Children's Cup. Because he decided to serve the least and the lonely. Then I thought about one other young man. Jordan Michael Gautreaux. He did this. 1988 to 2010. Say, who did he serve? He served you. He served you. He served our campuses. He served our Baton Rouge Dream Center. He served the campuses in Africa. Matter of fact, when he passed away in November, he was out serving on a Sunday morning like this. His folks are here today. We talked about it this morning. He was born August the 11th, 1988. He moved to heaven November 7th, 2010. I went out to his gravesite yesterday and stood by his headstone. And I stood there and it just, tears came into my eyes. I thought, what a short life. What a short life. I had that thought. But you know what the Lord whispered in my heart? But a long serve. A long serve. You know as much as I know, it's not as much the starting point or the ending point. It's that dash. Put that on my hand this morning. Dash. I wanted to remember dash. It's your dash that matters. Now, I've talked about this before, but how many, you know, there's some things you just don't talk about well as much. I can tell you about, if there's anybody that can preach dash, it is Mike Hammond. Mike, I want you to grab a mic real quick. I'm putting you on the spot. Grab a mic real quick. I want you, come on, let's clap our hands for Pastor Mike Hammond. Hurry. I'm going to put him on the spot. I want you to take about 2 or 3 minutes and I want you to preach what's on my hand. I want you to talk about that. You've told that story so many times.
Oh, wow.
It's all you.
I guess you better be instant in season and out of season, right? Well, when I think of the word dash, I think of four words, really. D-A-S-H. The D stands for determination. Being determined. I think about the three men that Pastor Dino described. They were determined, weren't they? You say, you know what? Most people succeed because they're destined to. No, that's not the case. I think success is based on determination. And those men were determined to follow God, whether it was popular or not, whether it was convenient or not. If you want to live a life that's fully alive, I think it starts with determination. The A stands for attitude. You know, your attitude determines a lot of different things. You say, well, I don't have a lot of skill. I don't have a lot of talent. I don't have this. I don't have... Too many times we go through life looking at what we don't have. You know what you can start doing is look at what you do have. And if you put your attitude in the right place, it's amazing what determination and attitude can create in somebody's life. The S is servanthood. It's exactly what Pastor's preaching today. You know, and how many times as a church have we heard this? You know, this isn't brand new information to us. You know, most good things have already been spoken, but they just need to be lived. And as Pastor was talking about servanthood today, I thought, you know what? I've probably preached this message 1,000 times, but I wonder how well am I living that? You know, determination, attitude, serving, and then heart. 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 The Bible says, whatever you do, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your heart. You know why? Because your reward is not coming from man anyway. It's coming from God. And so the dates, the starting date and the ending date. Listen, we have no control over the day that we were born. And we have very little control of the day that we die. But you know what God expects from each and every one of us? To take responsibility of that little line, that dash in between those two dates. And I believe we can do that right now. Amen. Pastor Dina.
Come sit by me. A dash. Wasn't that great? Put him on the spot like that. The dash. Yeah. I was going to tell Delenn, listen, I was so committed to it, I got a tattoo. And then tell her, April Fool's, just joking. But I thought, I said, I want to remember that, Mike. My dash. What do you do with your dash? What do you do? Because what you do with your dash is going to determine a whole lot happens on that other side. Let's recommit our life. Showing God's love. Sharing God's love. And serving. We could start today by going and signing up. Say, you know what? I need to go out to a nursing home. My mom was in a nursing home. You know what? I need to give back a little bit. I need to take some time. I need to not worry so much about my time and my schedule, my agenda, all that I got going on. I'm so busy, busy, busy. I'm so important. I probably need to look after the interests of somebody else. Maybe the situation I'm in is because all I'm doing is thinking about me, myself, and I. And maybe I need to take this heart that Jesus had. Not to so much be served, but to serve and to give my life. It's amazing how he'll take care of a lot of your stuff when you begin to serve the least and the lonely.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.